Ladies and gentlemen, you are all feeling that at the present moment, we are experiencing the most dramatic period in modern history. We have become the center of a crisis which is causing all Europe to tremble. Peace is once more endangered, once more threatened, and more so than at any other time. In conjunction with all the nations, side by side, we fought during the World War. We are doing and we have done everything in order that peace might be preserved. Never before, however, has it been necessary to show such strength of heart and soul in making our decision as it is today. It is not only a question of peace, however. Compared with the other participants in today's great struggle, we have more at stake. With us, it is a question of a decent future for and the integrity of the whole Republic. Our whole history is characterized by the effort to improve the relations of our nation to the German nation at home and in the Reich. This unsolved task is facing us now with its whole fatality. With its whole fatality because the national movement and still more the national agitation of the whole German nation is, in these last years and these last months, coming to a head. For this reason, it is our historical responsibility to do everything to regulate the Czech-German relations as beneficently as possible from the point of view of the vital interests of our country, as well as from the point of view of the vital interests of the German nation. The whole of Europe knows the cause of our attempt to regulate the question of nationalism. After difficult negotiations we've got so far, that a basis had been found which has been considered by both sides as a just basis for the settlement. Just when it was clear that these negotiations could proceed towards its end, the way of development has been abandoned and revolt unleashed. In addition, abroad, a flood of rebukes arose in unison against the government of the state because the government did not trifle with the revolt because it proceeded with drastic measures against the revolt. We refuse any reproaches of this kind. We have done the obvious duty of an orderly state. And more, as we showed in the previous period, the highest measure of conciliatory spirit akin to self-denial. The suppression of the revolt against the law is not a persecution. The more, as a basis has been found for the peaceful settlement of the national relations. The government of the Republic has piloted the destinies of the state during these recent months through dangerous leaps and could not take hasty decisions in its actions. It had, however, to step in at the moment, the vital moment, when it became a question of the state's duty of protecting the personal safety of its citizens and the Constitution. Even if the proclamation of martial law has been severely criticized, it cannot be denied that Germany attempted uprising. It was only the strict measures taken that we have to thank for averting the worst. It is with emotion and sadness that we think of the innocent martyrs of the rebellion, whom we honor in their supreme sacrifice in performing their duty to the state and to their fellow citizens. The extraordinary security measures have proved completely successful up to now and will remain in force as long as they may be necessary. During the past few months, the policy of the government has been conducted from the point of view of a double responsibility. With consciousness of the responsibility for unconditional maintenance of the state authority in decisive moments, and then with the knowledge of the responsibility for all the possible results which might arise so long as Czech-German relations are not regulated. This explains our inexhaustible patience in the negotiations. This explains our honorable efforts to see that no excuse should be given for placing the responsibility of the further trend of affairs on our shoulders. Again and again, our public lost patience and charged the government organs with weakness. Now the situation is clear to all. By our policy, which is in appropriate places, use moderation and was at appropriate times uncompromising, we have gained from all friends and also from all objective observers recognition that we have served the cause of peace and that we are fully determined to defend ourselves and that Czechoslovakia is a reliable collaborator for peace. This fact has made it possible for the government to conduct the policy of the state on a firm foundation which internally and internationally. By our policy during the last few months, we have attained the results which at the present time is indispensable. It can be said that Czechoslovakia has met all her tasks and has faced all her responsibilities. It now lies with all the others to do the same. The regulation of German-Czech relations is not to be and cannot be the source of fresh quarrels and a barrier which would be psychologically make the future collaboration of the nations impossible. This is true to a great extent of these areas of Europe where the peace, progress, and happiness of those nations depends on their peace-loving and constructive collaboration. The so-called plebiscite can produce no solution whatsoever which would correspond to this great aim. In this, we are unanimous with all those who bear the responsibility at home and all objective experts on the conditions of Czechoslovakia and Central Europe, so complicated and nationally and territorially. If a plebiscite would have proved a suitable path to the regulation of nationality relations in Czechoslovakia, it would have been a welcome instrument in the hand of the peace conference. The plebiscite in Czechoslovakia is therefore inaccessible, not only from the subjective view of this state, but also objectively because of the very fact that it would create a series of analogous new problems. Czechoslovakia is willing to continue in the work for peace even in the existing tension. In the name of constitutional authorities of the state, I declare, in spite of Henlein's refusal to agree with the Czechoslovak government on the settlement of nationality relations, and in spite of his attempt at arriving, the government, defending the full integrity of the state, decisively changes nothing in its policy of agreement with the nationalities, and especially with the Sudet Germans. This policy of agreement has the government's policy for its foundation. For this purpose, the government today does not require Henlein and the leaders who have fled for the event in our country and the suppression of the rioting best shows that the government will treat with the main body of the Sudet German people who desire peace and national conciliation. The government will not pursue a policy of revenge and persecution. It must, however, see that law, peace, and order are respected and maintained. In matters of peace and order, no concessions can be made, because only in peace and order is it possible to assure a complete and reasonable agreement. To Slovakia and Carpathia and Ruthenia, today I address only a few words so that I might indicate that the regulation of conditions in both those provinces is proceeding on the right road. After 20 years' development, the national groups and peoples can take today a further step which is necessary in this direction, in order that not only the formal legal bonds, but also all the moral guarantees of the internal satisfaction of our brothers in Slovakia and Carpathia and Ruthenia might contribute to the strength of the Republic. If the state receives at this time considerable reinforcement of a contented loyal Slovakia and Carpathia and Ruthenia, the policy of the state in this direction will be able to point to notable results. It has not been, and it is not, anything less than a systematically conducted political attack on the most important foundations of the Czechoslovak state. It is not simply a partial problem. The question is that we, not only by our international position, but first and foremost by our internal strength, have warded off every attempt that threatens us, and that we should drive away all doubts which could undermine our solidarity. It is not just a question of the self-evident unity of the heart and emotions, but a unity of reason and reflection, and indeed a unity of all powers. All these unities will be necessary, especially in the near future, when we should be placed before the decision. If we all speak at the present time of nationality and state policy with regards to the Germans, it would be a dangerous mistake that we should, through the greatness of this one task, forget our internal problems in their entirety. In fact, much more is involved. The broad masses of the people have for long observed a broad-based attempt to disintegrate the internal political structure of our state. When we recall some of the sessions of our parliament, when, in harmony with the members of German nationality, the political groups advanced demands drawn up on the same model, we see this attack. Whether it was intentional or not, the impression was caused that in this state, in addition to the Czechs and Slovaks, all the others, more or less, ranged themselves against its constitution and the eternal order. This order was to be revoked at home and abroad. The impression was to be given that Czechoslovakia is incapable of holding together, and that it was doubtful whether she could fulfill her state mission. The intention of tearing us asunder was a direct blow to the heart. Nevertheless, the President of the Republic did not hesitate to place his full official and personal authority behind the efforts to the full solution of all our tasks. He therefore began a policy of national regulation in the form of a number of government proposals. Until recently, everyone was convinced that these proposals would lead to conciliation. However, while the government worked for this by the way of agreement and compromise, the other side launched a covert action aiming at revolution. Our entry upon the 20th year of our state is under the shadow of intrigue against our republic. Indeed, we have lively memory that for a moment even part of the Slovaks wandered from the past. It is worthwhile to emphasize that last year's measures connected with the first stage of autonomy for Carpathian Ruthenia were justified not only from the legal, but also from the political point of view. With little exception, Carpathian Ruthenia did not falter. We are a nation which, despite the fact, or perhaps even because of it, we have passed through the most surprising Golgotha of our history and have learned to maintain our self-control and also in the fateful moments to husband our power. We have resisted in the recent past attempts to detach us from our allies and our friends precisely because we have, with superhuman self-control, showed that we regard all situations not only from the point of view of our own requirements for existence, but also from the standpoint which is truly European. We do not forget, and we never shall forget, the unique patriotic discipline and consciousness of political responsibility of our people. In the name of the government, I thank you with all my heart for the way in which, with iron discipline and nerve, you have resisted the attack of unfriendly propaganda and political agitation. Keep your patience. Do not let yourselves be weakened by rumored doubts. All of us, the government, the army, the population, are at one. We are not a nation, not partisan sects. The whole nation is at one with the president, who cannot be shaken by any reproaches attempted from abroad. The greater the pressure on us from abroad, the more firm will become our unity. We are conscious that the test before which our republic stands is a severe test, and that every day will make new demands on our strength and on our spirit of self-sacrifice. No one has succeeded or will succeed in dividing us. Long centuries have taught us that he who is incapable of struggle has no right to dream of peace. Therefore, we enter the next days with quiet confidence as people who are faithful to their inner selves, whatever may come. We desire peace and freedom. We do not need to use strong words. We need, and we have, strong hearts and strong minds. This, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the speech delivered today by Dr. Milan Hodža, the President of Czechoslovakia.